What's up, guys? Welcome to an all-new episode of the Undisputed Politics podcast hosted by Robert Wilson Jr., coming to you from the Mississippi Delta. Robert is a millennial activist and Democratic political influencer. Episodes are available now on Apple, Spotify, YouTube, or wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts. Tune in as Robert shares his unapologetic views on the latest in sports, news, and politics.
One, two, three, four, five, six, seven, eight, nine, 10, 11 times Kevin McCarthy has not been elected Speaker of the United States House of Representatives. Come on, you guys. Welcome to the new episode of the Undisputed Politics with your boy Robert Wilson out of the Mississippi Delta. And I am so excited to welcome you all into the new year 2023. As you can tell by the intro, we will be discussing on tonight's episode Kevin McCarthy's race for the Speaker of the House of Representatives. I'll be talking about Damar Hamlin's injury with the NFL and discussing the NFL's response to it, and a host of other things that I'll be talking about on tonight's episode of the Undisputed Politics with your boy Robert Wilson. So let's get it. Let's go. All right, you guys. So I live by the statement that you can't do the same thing and expect different results. Kevin McCarthy is reaping what he sows. Today was the third day that the United States House of Representatives convened to elect a Speaker of the House. Now, for people who don't know, you can't do anything in the United States House of Representatives without having a Speaker. The Speaker is basically the person that sets the agenda for the House. It's usually the person who is the leader of the majority party. So pretty much over the last 3 days, they have been voting for a speaker, and you have to get 218 votes to become the speaker. It has been horrible. It's been horrible. I'm just going to call it what it is. It's been horrible. It's been embarrassing. It's been a shit show. You have Republicans arguing that they can't elect Kevin McCarthy. Well, you have some. You have some who are arguing that they can't elect Kevin McCarthy Speaker of the House because they feel as if he is someone who's not loyal. He's someone who goes against his word. He's someone who is pretty much a liar. He's someone who is not conservative enough. They are arguing for things like having a single member to bring a motion to vacate the chair, which is basically to get rid of the chair. You have some of them arguing to be on the Rules Committee, which pretty much every bill has to go through. And you're arguing for some of them to pretty much get things that he just can't give them. Now, personally, as someone who's a Democrat, I am happy that they are doing this because they're pretty much shooting themselves in the foot. It's already been widely known that more than likely Democrats are going to try to fight very hard to win back the House in 2024. More than likely Democrats will maintain the Senate at that time. Now, the problem with that is if Democrats maintain the House and the Senate, we're going to also have to work hard to make sure we maintain the White House as well. That's another story for another time. We'll discuss all of that later on a different episode. But what is going on now is pretty much McCarthy is doing the same thing every day. Me personally, after the third vote, I would have just get backed out and told them to find somebody else to do it. get somebody else to do it. Because there's no way I'm going to every single day, get up there and allow these people to embarrass me the way that they are embarrassing Kevin and McCarthy when it comes down to the different votes every single day. So pretty much they're every day, they're bringing up a new vote to the floor. And every day they've nominated somebody different. They've nominated Jim Jordan. They've nominated Trump. Today they nominated some black guy who's a conservative that I don't even know. But apparently he has some type of criminal history background. And people are going crazy about that on Twitter. It's just a whole lot. And me personally, I just feel like they are shooting themselves in the foot. Like, I get it. And I'm happy that they're doing it because, like I said, as a Democrat, it is showing what we need them, what it needs to show for us in particular is that Democrats are normally the ones who know how to govern. Democrats are normally the ones who are going to go in there with a plan and with policies to help the American people. And that Republicans are just crazy nut jobs who only care about culture wars and the Bible and nothing else, pretty much. And so it's helping Democrats out in that regard. But for Republicans and before the overall American people, it's just not really doing nothing. So I hope that they hurry up and get this under control. I hope that they hurry up and figure something out. I hope that they hurry up and move forward with this, honestly. Kevin McCarthy, if you can't get 218 votes, you need to just back out. Plain and simple. Back out. Just go ahead and back out. That's just the first thing. And like I said, me personally, I just feel like it's just too much. But like most Democrats, I got my popcorn out and I've been watching each time they've done the votes. And it's been, like I said, it's been a shit show. They've been going back and forth with each other. You got Marjorie Taylor Greene arguing with Lauren Boebert. And as you know, they are both Trump MAGA Republicans. You got Matt Gaetz, who's an alleged predator. He's going back and forth arguing. All of these people are nut jobs and they all don't deserve to be in Congress. No way, but if that's what the Republicans want, let the Republicans do what they do. And so that's how I feel about it. That's all been going on with that. Keep watching. Stay tuned to what's going on out. More than likely end up talking about this again on next week's episode because it will probably be still an ongoing issue next week. The last time this happened was over 100 years ago. And when it happened 100 years ago, they voted like 130 something times. And it took 2 months to get settled. So we'll probably be in for a long ride. So just buckle up and be ready for the ride. Moving right along on today's episode, I do want to talk about Damar Hamlin and his injury. Most of you who watch NFL, you watch football, you know it is a grueling task for these players to go out there every day. And when I say every day, I'm talking about going to practice. I'm talking about being away from their families. Most of their families live in different states and they live in other different states depending on the teams that they play for. Having to be away from their kids and not being able to be with their kids all the time. Just a lot of different things that affect athletes. And that's the reason why most of they are paid millions of dollars. But the conversation is starting to be had about guaranteed money, health and safety, and a lot of different things in regards to that. The conversations were already starting to be had, but going into this past Monday, I was watching the game. I personally was watching the game, and it really struck me when the NFL and Before I get into this, I want to say my deepest thoughts and prayers to DeMar Hamlin and his family and the teammates and all of those people involved. I have been praying. I will continue to pray. What has been boggling me the most about this, when it happened, literally while this young man was still on the ground and they were doing CPR, you had people on Twitter, you had people on TV, people on podcasts, YouTube, people who were literally wondering when they were going to resume the game. Some people failed to even mention the young man's injury, failed to say that they would give a prayer. And it irritated me because people treat these people as if they are not human beings. People treat them as if they don't have lives, as if they don't have families. And I hate it because these are human beings. They have families, children. They are sons, uncles. They have people that care about them just as much as people care about us, the people who are watching these games. And a lot of the conversation around this centered because Skip Bayless, I'm personally a fan of the show Undisputed. Undisputed is where I got the idea of the name for this show because it's pretty much, like I said, giving undisputed views. My views are unfiltered. I don't color code too much. I curse. I say how I feel. And that's pretty much how I feel like Undisputed is, because Shannon Sharp goes out there every day. He says how he feels, and sometimes it's a little colorful. And I'm going to read Skip's tweet. And the reason why I'm going to read Skip's tweet is because it'll bring context to what I'm trying to talk about. It says, "No doubt the NFL is considering postponing the rest of this game. But how? This late in the season, a game of this magnitude is crucial to the regular season outcome, which suddenly seems so irrelevant." Followed up that about 30 minutes later and said, "Nothing is more important than that young man's health." That was the point of my last tweet. I'm sorry if that was misunderstood, but his health is all that matters. Again, everything else is irrelevant. I prayed for him and will continue to. Now, the problem with that and what pisses me off about it is he posted that first tweet while the young man was still on the ground. He posted that first tweet while the team was still trying to figure out what they were going to do. You had men sitting on the field crying with tears in their eyes, and it was being shown on TV. So you ain't telling me Skip Bayless didn't see it. And he posted that first tweet while all of that was going on. And then he followed it up saying, "Nothing is more important than that young man's health." And he said it as if he didn't know the young man's name. And then he said he would continue to pray for him. But prior to that, he didn't say anything about praying for him. There was a tweet before that tweet, but even that tweet said nothing about praying for the family. So your first concern was about the game. And people can say, "Oh, he meant no harm." People can say, "I give him the benefit of the doubt. I assume that he's a good person," all this other stuff. What pisses me off about that is that white men are the only one that receive that kind of grace. white men are the only men who ever are allowed to receive that kind of benefit of the doubt. Because had it been a black man that said that, he would have been crucified, would have been fired from his job. Yet, the very next day, Tuesday morning, Skip Bayless was allowed to go on his show without his co-host Shannon Sharp there and continue on with the show as if nothing happened. He said this half-ass apology monologue before he went on into the show, basically telling us he's sorry that we misunderstood, not actually apologizing for what he said. And it just went on as if nothing happened. And in the, and it's key to remember that he also, in that particular segment, he said specifically that the bosses had called him. The reason why that is important is because the very next day, Wednesday morning, Shannon Sharp decided to come back to work. He didn't go to work Tuesday because he didn't want to be involved in what Skip had going on. The next morning, Sharp showed up for the show. And Skip Bayless literally had the audacity to stop this man in the middle of while he was talking and say he wasn't going to take the tweet down and that he was standing by what he said. And then he went on to say during that particular month, I'm, matter of fact, I'm going to provide the clip for y'all. Here's the clip.
And then came my third tweet, which I believe was widely misconstrued, misinterpreted. I don't follow what's happening on Twitter. I just tweet. But my boss here at Fox called and said, hey, people are really reacting strongly to your tweet. Maybe you should clarify, which I immediately did.
Skip tweeted something, and although I disagree with the tweet, and hopefully Skip would take it down, but I didn't want it.
Well, time out. I'm not going to take it down because okay. I stand by what I tweeted.
Skip, let me finish.
All right, okay.
Go ahead.
No, you go.
Go ahead, let's go, Jen.
Okay.
I mean, I cannot even get through a monologue without you interrupting
okay.
me.
Well,
you could have came back. Skip,
well, I thought,
Skip, just let
me. I
was just going to say, Skip, I didn't want to yesterday to get into a situation where Damar Hamlin was the issue. We should have been talking about him and not get into okay. your tweet. That's what I was going to do. But you can't even let me finish my opening monologue without you interrupting.
Okay. I was under the impression you weren't going to bring this up because nobody here had a problem with that tweet.
No, clearly the bosses wanted you to offer explanation. So clearly somebody.
No, they did not have nobody.
Let's go, Jen.
Now, as you can hear, Skip is saying the bosses ain't called him. So I guess we was all just listening to him just lie the day before when he said that the bosses had called him about the tweets. And so it goes to the fact that white men are allowed to be disrespectful and ignorant to black people every single day. And white privilege is allowed to prosper. Had Shannon Sharp said that and the roles were reversed and Shannon Sharp had said that and Tom Brady was the one injured, Shannon Sharp wouldn't have a job. And it's known. That's not something we can speculate about. We know this. We've seen this happen. Look how they crucified Jemele Hill. And so let's not play this game about it when it comes down to Skip Bayless. I personally, like I said, I like the show. I'm probably going to continue watching, but I hope that people boycott. I hope that other people stop watching the show. The reason why I'm going to continue watching is because I like the show and Shannon Sharp is the main reason why I'm watching. So I will continue watching for Shannon Sharp. But other than that, people should stop supporting Skip Bayless. Stop giving him the attention. Stop allowing him to say the things that he says. And so with that being said, I'm happy that people are challenging him. I'm happy that people have him in the hot seat. I'm happy that people are pretty much giving that nod. And as I am talking about Skip Bayless right now, I just got a notification on my phone, you guys. And we have breaking news on the ESPN app, and I'm going to read it straight from it because I'm this breaking news. First time I'm having breaking news on the show. But it says that the NFL has announced that the Bills and Bengals game in which DeMar Hamlin was injured in will not be resumed and that the game will be canceled. And this is very significant, y'all. This is very, very significant news. It's very significant news because it had implications. It had very strong implications about pretty much seeding in the playoffs and all of those things. So pretty much now that this game will be canceled, the Chiefs will more than likely, if they are to win this game this Saturday against the Raiders, they are more than likely to have the first seed in the AFC. And so the AFC championship or playoffs games will have to go through Kansas City, and Kansas City will more than likely end up with a bye week because they'll be the first seed. And a lot of conversation has went along about that, and you have to be into sports and stuff to know all about that, how the implications of that works. And if you guys will give me a second, I'm trying to pull up the article. I'm pulling up the article. Give me one second. Okay, so we have I'm going to read the statement from okay, so pretty much this is what the statement is reading. I'm going to read the statement for you guys. It says the NFL has announced today that the Week 17 Buffalo Bills and Cincinnati Bengals game will not be resumed and has been canceled. NFL Commissioner Roger Goodell informed all clubs of his decision earlier today after speaking with the Bills, the Bengals, and the NFL Players Association leadership. He says that this has been a very difficult week. We continue to focus on the recovery of DeMar Hamlin and are encouraged by the improvements of his condition, as well as the tremendous outpouring of support and care for DeMar and his family from all across the country. We are also incredibly appreciative of the amazing work of the medical personnel and commend each and every one of them. Among the key factors arriving at Goodell's decision, not playing the Buffalo-Cincinnati game to its conclusion will have no effect on which clubs qualify for the postseason. No club will qualify for the postseason, and no club will be eliminated based on the outcome of the game. It would require postponing the start of the playoff for 1 week, therefore affecting all 14 that qualify for the postseason. And it would be making the decision prior to week 18 consistent with competitive principles, and it enables all the clubs to know the playoff possibilities prior to playing the final weekend of regular season games. Canceling the game between the Bills and the Bengals creates potential competitive inequalities in certain playoff scenarios. In effect, to mitigate those inequities, the NFL clubs will consider tomorrow in a special league meeting a resolution recommended by the commissioner and approved by the competitive committee consisting of two elements. The AFC championship game will be played at a neutral site if the participating teams played an equal number of games and both could have been the number one seed and hosted the game. Had all AFC clubs played a full 17-game regular season, those circumstances involve Buffalo or Cincinnati qualifying for the game as a road team and are listed below. The first scenario, Buffalo and Kansas City both win and both tie. A Buffalo versus Kansas City championship game would be at a neutral site. Scenario two, Buffalo and Kansas City both lose and Baltimore wins or ties. A Buffalo versus Kansas City championship game would be at a neutral site. Scenario three, Buffalo and Kansas City both lose and Cincinnati wins. A Buffalo or Cincinnati versus Kansas City championship would be at a neutral site. If Buffalo defeats Cincinnati in week 18, it will have defeated Cincinnati, a divisional opponent, twice, but will not be able to host a playoff game because Cincinnati will have a higher winning percentage of 16 game schedule. And then it goes on to say, as we consider the football schedule, our principles have been to limit disruption across the league and minimize competitive inequalities. It says, Goodell says, I recognize that there are no perfect solutions. The proposal we are asking the ownership to consider, however, addresses the most significant potential equitable issues created by the difficult but necessary decision not to play the game. So, more than likely, they won't play the game. I'm not upset about that. I think it's a good idea because these players are going through so much. And then it's also the fact that they have to continue to go ahead and play this last game of the season before the playoffs. And so I'm not mad about it. I definitely think that it's a good idea to cancel the game. So let me know y'all thoughts on social media, and all of that good stuff. That's all I have for this particular episode on all of that. So with that being said, it is the beginning of the year, so not much has gone on, being that it is the beginning of the year. And so I would like to go ahead and end the show for tonight. I thank you guys again for tuning in. Continue to listen to the show and follow the show on all social media platforms. My handles are R.E. Wilson Jr. I'm on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter. So follow me on all three platforms. Continue to share the podcast and come in and engage with me about all of the latest things that are happening in sports, news, and politics. Thanks again for tuning in, and we're out.